Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph, but we are holding on Mem Amud Beit at the Halakha Mishnah, which is meant to be introduced as promised yesterday, and which of course is the reason that everybody is tuning in early this morning by our own favorite Sir Richard. Yes, indeed, there he is. Capitan, go for it. So we suddenly find ourselves, interestingly enough, at a completely new topic, or so it would appear, because we're going to go from it, actually the two things included in the Mishnah that really don't belong together on the surface. So we're going to continue. Remember, the last thing that we learned yesterday was the question about thickening a pot with flour, using vinegar to prevent it from becoming chometz, and what type could you use? Really, dried grain flour? Maybe could just be, as Tosfos says, you could just use like fake flour, meaning something made out of kidneys. So we move on directly, which is pretty standard, that the previous sugya actually continues into the next Mishnah, and that would be the question of ein notin kemach l'tol charoset. So here, now this charoset, let me just caution you, has nothing to do with the charoset that is used at the Seder. The word charoset simply meant a sharp meat dip at the time. And the borrowing of the term charoset for the Seder for a sweet dip is really, it's a completely different thing, even though the Gemara will say later on in Arvei Pesachim that you have to be mikayeha, you have to give it a little bit of that sharp taste. But normally, charoset was the thing that was you used standard for dipping your meat in. And indeed, the charoset would use fermented flours. You would put in a little bit of flour into it, allow it to ferment in there. It had water, it had vinegar, and it was pretty sharp. And nonetheless, we say over here, you're not allowed. And we were talking yesterday about the question of whether the vinegar would prevent a chimutz. And over here, the Mishnah is beferish. You cannot put kemach into this meat dip or into mustard. Now, mustard, of course, also, you would mix the mustard seed with vinegar and water, and then you would add flour to it. As a matter of fact, many mustards today are made with flour. The Israeli mustard is made with flour. The good mustards are not made with flour, but that would be actually another way. Ferment a little bit of flour, make it a tastier kind of mustard. But if you did add flour, so then you have to eat it right away, because otherwise it'll become chometz. Whereas Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to eat it at all. Now, there's two issues in Rabbi Meir. The simple way, which appears to be the way that the Gemara is assuming, and this is the way that some of the Rishonim and the Mefarshei HaMishnah understand it in the Bavli, that the idea over here is that according to Rabbi Meir, the fact that you had other things in the water, we've seen this far before, makes it turn chometz more quickly. Because of that, there's no way to eat it in time. The minute you have to be choshish that the minute that you put in to flour into something that had water plus one of these additional ingredients like vinegar, mashke, meperos, and so on, then the chashash is that it will become more rapidly chometz. You don't have your normal time, which is 18 minutes or whatever. You don't have any time, so therefore you can't eat it. The pashtus is that the Gemara and the Rishonim holds that the problem is that Rabbi Meir simply is afraid you won't eat it fast enough, but it's not that it makes, I shouldn't say that. Because it's in addition to the question of its being machmitz more quickly. There's no reason to assume that the Rishami doesn't hold of chimutz more quickly. Okay. Anyway, the next part of the Mishnah seems not to be nogea. And indeed, you have a lot of the Tosfos himself, actually, on today's stuff, wonders what the heck this is doing here, bichlal, because the dinim of the Korban Pesach really do not appear until Perek Shvi. And Tosfos is bothered by the fact that all of a sudden we put in the Nyanim of the Korban Pesach. But if you take a look at it in context, it's very clear why this next line is there. It's there simply because of the fact that if we were talking about how it is that you use charoset, and charoset, remember, is a meat dip. So therefore, the question immediately is, okay, so if you're going to be eating your Korban Pesach, what can you eat your Korban Pesach with if you don't have a normal dip to dip it in? And that, at least if you learn it the way Rashi learns the sugya, leads to another question which already worries us about whether it would be called dipping the Pesach into a liquid while it was actually being roasted, and whether that would be called bishul. Is that called boiling the Pesach? But our Mishnah is talking about, according to Rashi, dipping the Pesach, or some of these things is talking about using to best the Pesach with these things, with cold liquid, that would be okay according to Rashi. The Rambam in the Pirshei Mishnayos says it would not be okay, and that the Mishnah is only referring to what do you dip the Pesach into after it's already finished being tzolui. When you're eating it at that point, you're not going to be cooking it in the liquid. And the Pashtus of the Gemara is that we are concerned about the inyanim of the Bishul HaPesach, which we'll see. But anyway, you certainly are not allowed to cook a Pesach in liquids or any kind of liquids, not in fruit juice or in water. So the mashkin over here would mean the Shiva mashkin, which would be the Yad Dam Shachat, or in any type of fruit juice. But you can, sachin u'matbilin otomiyam, so the matbilin would be for eating purposes. Rashi learns the sachin means b'shas, that you're cooking it. And the reason is because if you're putting cold liquid on it, then the liquid isn't cooking the Pesach. And what happens is that for its sli, it just absorbs a little bit of the taste to give it a better taste. And by the time it's absorbed, it's not considered to be anymore a liquid that is heated, which would then pass to the Pesach, obviously. Then getting back to our chametz issues. So clearly, if we're getting back at the beginning of the Mishnah about the problem of something becoming chametz, and at the end of the Mishnah, the problem of something becoming chametz, and then suddenly in the middle of the Mishnah, start talking about the Korban Pesach. Obviously, the focus of the Korban Pesach over here is not to teach me the dinim of bishul of Korban Pesach, but rather is to tell me what type of dips could you use in a Korban Pesach if you're not utilizing the normal charoses, not what we call the Pesach charoses. So, meitash mishoshel nachtom, this is something that Richie is actually well aware of. This is the water bucket that you, the person who's doing the lisha, puts his hands into in order to get whatever flour was there from before. So, of course, we're very careful to throw out that liquid and to wash the hands completely down the drain with water, flowing water, in order to make sure that none of the pieces of flour that fell into the water should mix afterwards with anything else. So the meitash mishoshel nachtom, the baker's water, yishavchu, you have to pour them down the drain. Because they become full, maybe it's invisible, but there's a lot of actual chimutz in there. And if they touch something else, then they're going to cause it to become chometz. Okay, so we've got a machlokus over here between the Tanakama and Rebbe Meir as to whether you are supposed to eat it right away or you have to get rid of it. You're not even allowed to eat it. Now, the question is, what is it? Because there were two subjects, remember, in the Mishnah. One of them was this charoset dip, and the other one was mustard. What was the machlokus about? Was the machlokus about both of the above? Because the mustard is much sharper than the charoset dip. And is it possible that they're only arguing about one of the above? So Rav Kahana says, yes. If you're talking about the toch charoset, that is simply not sharp enough to cauterize and to prevent chimutz, everybody agrees in that case with the Rebbe Meir that it has to be burned. The only machlokas between the Rebbe Meir and the Tanakama was about the mustard. We're over there. Since the mustard is very sharp, so the Tanakama said, okay, so eat it while you can. And Rebbe Meir said, even that, you have to assume, becomes chimutz right away. V'tanya nami hachi, and there seems to be a braisa like Rav Kahana. Ein notim kemach l'toch ha-charoset, v'im natan yisarev miyad. Don't put kemach, but if you do, then you have to burn it right away. And then it changes in the second part of the Braisa to separate the dinim of mustard. Letoch hachardal, if you added the flour into mustard, then it's a machlokas. Rabbi Meir Amar Yisraev Miyad. So over there, obviously, this Bryce is making it very clear that Rav Kahana is correct, and the Machlokas in the Mishnah was meant to be limited only to the case of the Chardal. Now there's a question whether do we accept this Braita as a real definition of the Mishnah? Well, apparently that's a Machlokas, because Amr of Unabred Rav Yudah, Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel, the Halacha is like the Chachomim, and Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak said to Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yehuda, the question over here is, what did you mean when you said the halacha is like the Chachomim you quoted? Did you mean in terms of Charoset that it's like the Chachomim, or were you referring to the Chardal? In other words, do you hold that the Chachomim argue with Rebbe Meir, even about the Charoset, or are you in the same opinion of Rav Kahana? Now, this is a strange thing to ask, as Tosis points out, because we just had a Braisa that said Beferish like Rav Kahana, right? So Tosis understands that the point of the Gemara is that the Mishnah strongly suggests that it does not hold of that Braisa. So, I mean, that's the question. Do they hold that the Stam Mishnah means that the Machlokas is on both or not? And that's what he was asking him. So Rav Huna told Rav Nachman, I understand, why is there a difference between the two cases of the mustard or the charoset? There's no difference between them. Said Rav Nachman, well, what do you mean there's no difference? Didn't Rav Kahana just say, Adam Rav Kahana, the machlokas is only about the mustard and not about the charoset? We're over there, divrei hakol yisaref miyad, and there's nobody that argues on that. So Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, never heard of it. Which means, of course, he heard of it. It means, to me, it's ridiculous. So lo shmiali, meaning klomar, lo sfirali. I don't take it seriously. Okay, so apparently there's a machlokas about whether there's a machlokas about the dinim of charoset that you mix with flour or only legabe, the mustard. So let's take a look whether we could bring another raya to Rav Kahana, that there's a big difference between the two against Rav Huna. Amar Rav Ashi, actually, I think what Rav Kahana says that there is a big difference between the two is very reasonable, because since Shmuel says, "Ein halachak Reb Yossi," we don't paskin like Reb Yossi, who holds that you can allow the vinegar to cauterize it and stop it from actually becoming chametz. So, I mean, if we find that where you have a situation that something does not cauterize, so then the sharpness of it actually stimulates the production of yeast, and therefore it should become usher right away. So, I mean, I'm assuming that since Shmuel said that, we don't paskin according to Rabbi Yossi, that you can cauterize, so then he apparently holds that lav tzimute, my lav tzimute u'lot tzamit, it does not cauterize, and because of that, hachamui mechama, that it actually hastens the chimutz. In which case, it would mean that you'd have to burn a mixture of charoset, which contains vinegar, right away. Which would mean that apparently that's what the Chachamim hold. So Zigmar, you don't know that. It's certainly possible that something could have basically no effect. So maybe he doesn't hold of the Rebbe Meir Chashash, that it's going to hasten. But he also doesn't hold of Rebbe Yossi's approach, that it actually can cauterize. So maybe it's neither. You can't bring a raya from here. Okay, then let's get to the case of the Korban Pesach. So the Korban Pesach is, of course, that it says beferish in the Torah that you are not allowed to have your Korban Pesach cooked in water, right? And it makes it quite a big fuss about it, because it's both a mitzvah aseh, and a mitzvah lo ta'aseh. So kach tochlu osob, and it should be tzli eish, amatzot u'morim. That is a mitzvah aseh. The way to eat it is tzli eish. Then the Torah says, al tochlu mimenu, na, don't eat it raw, which we're going to see that na does not mean raw, but na in Hebrew means very poorly cooked. So it means semi-raw. And it continues, uvashel mevushal b'mayim, and don't eat it if it were boiled in water, but note the lashon, bashel mivushal. Now, what does that mean, bashel mivushal? You could just say, o mivushal b'mayim, right? And then the pasuk continues on to say, ki im tzli esh. Now, I know it's tzli esh because, after all, it said beferish kacha tochlu oto. Tzli esh. So why do I need to repeat, don't eat it if it isn't tzli esh? There we got everybody, finally. So why do we need to repeat it, right? That we need to look at, because what appears over here to be going on is that we've got three completely different isurim in terms of the lavim, plus the aseh, the way to eat it, kacha tochlu oto, you need to eat it tzli esh, and the rosho, akra'av, and so on, and don't eat it, A, don't eat it na, B, don't eat it bashel mevushal, C, and don't eat it in any way other than tzli esh. So there would be like three separate elements of a lav, the way that it's being presented over here by that pasuk. So that's what the Gemara wants to dash. So when it says, bashel mevushal b'mayim, okay, so that b'mayim means only water, okay? But if I'm not using water, suppose I want to cook it in wine, so I should be able to cook it in wine, right? So any other mayim. How do I know that you can't cook it in any of the liquids? Obviously, this doesn't mean how do I know. I know because it says only eat it tzli esh, correct? So I know I'm going to be over on the tzli esh. I'm not going to be mekayim my mitzvahs aseh. That's for darn sure. And that means that there's an iser aseh in cooking it that is also for sure, because I can't eat it in any other way. There even seems to be a lav, ki im tzli esh. Well, obviously, if I'm cooking it in wine, it's not tzli esh. So what we want to know is, how do we know that we have this lav of bashel in mayim applying even, let's say, to wine, right? Well, I mean, isn't it a kal vachomer? If mayim she'en mefigin ta'amam asurin, if by cooking it in water, which doesn't impart any other flavor, doesn't affect its flavor in any way, and nonetheless, the Torah asserted it, so isn't it obvious that shar mashkin shemifigim ta'amam, there's two ways of using the word mefig, by the way, and it's a bit confusing. Normally, mefig means to dissolve the taste of, and to make it less. So that would require it to say mefigin ta'ame. It makes the taste of the Pesach less Pesachy because it covers it over with the taste of wine. But the gears, and there are gersaot like that in the Gemara, the gersa that we have, which Rashi appears to have, because he goes out of his way to explain how you can use mefigin ta'aman, where normally the focus would be on the object of what was affected by the taste. So Rashi says the word mefigin could also mean or insert their own taste into. So mefigin ta'amam mean, obviously, the inserting one's taste into also means that it's going to be spread out and weaken. You're not going to taste wine, but you're going to taste wine-flavored meat. So we could still use the word mefigin ta'amam. That seems to be the pashtus of the Rashi with this girsa. In any event, so isn't it a kal vachomer? So therefore, that should be enough to aser it. Now, of course, we know that normally we don't use a kal vachomer to make something as an iser. This kal vachomer could be that it's only megala. It's a gilui milta be'alma. Gilui milta be'alma means, well, water just means in context, liquid. It doesn't mean specifically water. This is not adding a new iser. Okay. Rebbe says, that's not how I know that you can't use something like wine. I know it this way. It says in the Pasuk, Mevushal b'mayim, ein li ela mayim. How do I know other kinds of liquid? That's why the Torah repeats the word bashel. It says, bashel mevushal. Bashel mevushal tells me anything it's cooked into also is considered to be an iser lav. And the difference between the two mikorot. Do we learn it from the kal vachomer, or do we learn it from a ribui in the pasuk? Yes, there's a very important difference between them. The difference between them is tzli kedar, which is a shortening of tzli kedera, which we say in English. Literally, we use those words, pot roast. Kedera is pot, tzli is roast. So a pot roast in English is tzli kedar. And what it means is that you put the meat into a pot. You do not add liquid. And then you allow the meat to be roasted in the pot, in which case it ends up being roasted in its own juice. So then the question is that considered to be an isser or not? Because if the only reason that we're assering other mashkin is because it may feed into amam, obviously a pot roast is not may feed into amam, it's its own taste through and through. And there's no additional taste whatsoever. So then that wouldn't be usser if the basis of it is the kal vachomer. But if bashel mevushal is the basis, so then that would mean that the Torah is saying, look, I don't care how it is, but liquids are usser. And even if those liquids are melted fats of the Pesach itself, it is not the tzli'esh that you're mechuyev, it's the isser of liquid. That would be the difference. Okay, so now the question is like this. The Rabbanan, the ones who didn't learn Bashel Mevushal, and they made it as a kal vachomer. I understand. I mean, what do they do with Bashel Mevushal? That's a pretty strong diuk that Rebbe's making. So, hi, Bashel Mevushal, my avdilei, and it turns out to have an afkamina la'alocha. What right do they have to say that Sli Kedar is not included in the Yisr? They say, because I need it for something else. And that something else seems to begin to touch on the inyanim of the Mishnah, which is, suppose you either first cook it in water and then you roast it, or you roast it and then you put it in water. In either way, you would still be chayev, because bashel mevushal means whenever the bishul took place, either before or after the tzli. So, wait, now I understand the case of where you first cooked it and then you went ahead and you roasted it. Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because what do I care if afterwards you roasted it? The bottom line is you did cook it. I don't understand the other case. If you finished cooking it, you see why this is okay, the Mishnah now. So if you finished cooking it and then you put it into the liquid, so why would that change it? Isn't it sli'esh? So the question of the Mishnah that says you can dip it even while it's cooking, the way Rashi is learning, in other liquids, as long as they're not hot liquids. Or you could certainly dip it afterwards, according to all the Rishonim, the understanding of the Mishnah. So over there, we're obviously relying on the fact that I completed the roasting process of the tzli'esh, and now there's no problem of dipping it in a liquid. So why does it say here that it would be a problem if I even boiled it after I was already tzolea it? Once it's roasted. That finishes it up, right? Amar Rav Kana, no, I'll tell you, there's a Tana that we can see who this is going according to. It must be going according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, he has a different approach by which a secondary cooking process will undo the initial cooking process, or baking process, or roasting process. And this would be nogea. Well, he doesn't talk about the Korban Pesach. He talks about the question of matzah. So it says in the Braisa like this. Look, this, by the way, is a very, very common situation. There are people who cannot swallow matzah and have problems swallowing. So how can they be yotze their chiev of matzah? So it says over here in the Braisa, if you take the matzah and you soak it in water, which makes it possible to swallow because it's much softer, as long as it hasn't dissolved completely, it's still considered to be matzah. And what's more, according to the Tanna Kamma, you could even be yotze if you boiled it in water, as long as it didn't dissolve into the water. So you take a matzah, you put it into boiling hot water, that does a very effective job of softening the matzah, and that would be okay. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't. You could put it into cold water, and you could let it soak as long as it doesn't dissolve. But the moment that you put it into boiling water, then it's no longer considered to be baked matzah, even though it was originally baked in the oven, So that's not considered to be, remember, the whole sugar we went to about lechem and lechem aretz, or what's considered to be a norm of baking. So over here, if you boil it afterwards, it is no longer baked, even though it once was baked. So if you apply that same logic here, then that would mean that according to Rabbi Yossi, even though you went ahead and you did the proper roasting and the fryer and everything was done right, the very fact that subsequently you boiled it would cancel the roast. And therefore, he would learn that the Pesach is not considered to be Tzliyesh, because now it's Bashel Mevushal. That would be one way of understanding the Braisa that is going on Liba, the Rabbi Yossi. Ula says, you don't have to make this a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Even if it was going according to Rabbi Meir, who said that you're allowed to boil a matzah, this is different. And this is where we finally get to, what do they do with Bashel Mevushal? So Shinei Harcha the Amakra Ubashel Mevushal Mikomakom. So the idea over here, Dafka, is that there's a special Gzeres HaKosov, and that answers what we were asking. What did the Rabbanan do with Bashel Mevushal? They come to say that it means that in this case, a subsequent boiling will actually ruin the status of tzli. Okay, so that's the Chiddush. So Shinei Harcha the Amakra Bashel Mevushal Mikom Akom, even if it already was completely tzalui. Tana Rabbana, Yachol Tzila O Kol Tzorko Yehei Chaya. You might think that someone who has broiled the Pesach beyond any ability to broil it anymore, meaning that he charred it, so now it's charred, so you might think that that is not considered to be Tzli'esh anymore. Because in the same way that you can ruin something that was tzolui by boiling, you ought to be able to ruin it by over-broiling and turning it into charred meat rather than into a properly braised meat, right? So basically, I mean, anybody there from Joburg will certainly agree that the way that these stupid Americans eat a braai is not barbecued, it's simply charred, and therefore doesn't even count as a proper tzli. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. So you might think that at that point it loses its din of tzli. My God, there's no blood dripping from it. I don't understand. What kind of weirdo eats meat like that, right? So this would be considered no longer to be tzli. So yochol tzla'ol kol tzorko, you would be chayev. And that's very interesting, because that's kol tzorko. Kol tzorko translates literally as well done. It's interesting. Okay. So as far as I'm concerned, the well done is nothing but charred meat and inedible. So therefore, Talmud Lomar, al tochlo mimenu na ubashel mevushal b'mayim. So only if it is bashel mevushal on some level or not, but not if it's completely roasted. What do you mean when you say completely roasted? Hey, chidami, omrevash neshavya charucha. Well, you made a charred meat. Tana Rabbana, you might think that if you ate a kezias of meat of the Korban Pesach that's completely raw, that you would be chayiv. Therefore, it says, al tachlu mimenu na ubashel mevushal. Putting together words na ubashel mevushal means that the word na does not mean raw. It means not, but touched upon already by being cooked on some level. So davka, it has to be over here, na, which is partially roasted, but not chai. Either if you cook it in water or partially roasted, then it's going to be usher. And that's why I stipulate specifically, either na or bashel, but not some other thing, like just totally chai. Because the word raw in Hebrew is not na, it's chai. And I do not answer eating chai. You might think that you are allowed to do that. No, that for sure you're not allowed to do. Because it says beferish. Talmud lomar, ki im tzli esh. The only way that you can eat it is dafka tzli esh. So now let's think about what that means. Because the ki im tzli esh is not the mitzvah's aseh of kacha tochlu also, right? Roshoa Krav that's the Asian to know. This is part of the Lotase. So as we pointed out, there are three separate steps in the Lotase. Al tochlumi menu na, al tochlumi menu bashel mevushal, al tochlumi menu in any way ki im tzli esh. So that means that we are now using the third variation of the lav in the pasuk as a separate iser lav. That's why the Torah comes along to tell me that even something that is not covered by the iser of na, is not covered by the bashel mevushal, is covered by any variation that is different than tzli by the final lav, ki im tzli esh. So now when you say na, what do you mean exactly by na? Omar Rav, that's very popular among the Persians. The Persians call that abarnim. Abarnim is what we call na. Now, of course, this doesn't help us very much, but there's a lot of discussion, la halacha, at what point it's considered to be still na and not tzli. Omar Rav Chista, how about cooking in Chamei Tveria? Now, obviously, you can't cook a Korban Pesach in Chamei Tveria, because at that point it would be possible biyotze, since Chamei Tveria is generally associated with a different city than Yerushalayim, called Tveria. But what it does mean is that if you have, we call basically hot springs, we call them Chamei Tveria. So you have a hot springs in Yerushalayim where it wouldn't become possible. Would that be considered to be the Isra of Bashel Mevushal or not? So Amar Rav Chista Amavasher b'Chamei Tveria b'Shabbat Pater. So it's not considered to be Bishul when it comes to Shabbos, because as we saw, any Bishul that does not come from fire, but that comes from radioactive decay or being, let's say in a lead mine where it just heats up because of uranium that decayed, so it's hot, or the Chamei Tveria, which are various processes that are not fire processes, either, again, radioactive decay in the earth, or still a molten core from early earth, or being heated by the sun. Anything like that is not, or microwaves, is not considered to be cooking on Shabbos. But when it comes to Pesach, it is considered to be cooked. And a Pesach Shabishlo B'Chamei Tveria, you'd be chayev. Ask the Gemara, well, I don't understand. Why on Shabbos not? I mean, on Shabbos, apparently, you take for granted that the meaning of cooked is fire, right? Oh, so tzli esh, but not mevushal, in the esh. That's how you're defining cooking. Cooking is a process that is done utilizing the chemical reaction we call fire. So you need toldot esh bina, and you don't have toldot esh, and any type of radioactive decay, there's no fire, and therefore it's not considered to be bishul. Why is it different for Pesach? Wouldn't Pesach be the same thing? I mean, hot springs is not considered to be a toldot esh and doesn't fit the basic parameters of cooking. Omar Rava, when it says chayev here, it does not mean chayev because it's mevushal. That's the point. The Bryce is introducing the fact that there's another lav, and the other lav is ki im the tzliyesh. That would be the point. So when he said that you're chayev, he meant you're chayev for the third level, and that is the ki im. Rav Chia, Bereid Rav Nosson, Masla, Lohad Rav Chista Behedya. Rav Chia actually had the statement said beferish at the time, not that we had to figure it out. He read it like this: Om Rav Chista, Hamavasha b'Chamei Tveria b'Shabbat Patur, but a Pesach shabishlo b'Chamei Tveria is chayev because if he was here, according to this, Rav Chista actually said it himself: She'avar mishum ki imtzli eish. Now, the question is: are you in fact chayev malchus on that third level? And the reason why that's a big question is that it's a generality. When you say, Al tochlu oto ki im tzli esh, you're talking about a lav shebiklalot, because it includes all types of variations, right? Chamei Tveria, pot roast, wine, strawberry juice, so on and so forth, correct? Okay, so normally we say, ein lokin alav shebiklalot. You can't be mechayev someone malchus on a generality. It has to be very specific. Now, there's two levels of specification here, and that is na and bashel mevushal. But the third level is a generality. Is it really possible to say that you're mechayev someone because of a generality? That's the issue. So, Omar Rava, if you eat na, So then, of course, you're going to be chayev for the iser of eating na, but you will also be chayev because of the overall lav. Al tochlo ki'im tzliyesh. You'll be chayev twice. If you eat it both na, or if you eat it just bevushal, you'll also be chayev twice. One for the specific bashem bevushal, and the other one for the ki'im tzliyesh. If you eat it both na and bevushal, so it was partially roasted and partial, meaning a kazayas roasted, a kazayas boiled. So then you would get three separate malchus arboim for three separate izurim. Abaye says, no, you wouldn't. Ein lokin alav shebiklalot. You can't give him a separate malchus for that third level lav. Now, it's not clear what Abaye means. So some say that what Abaye is telling you is you can't give him an additional malchus. The reason you can't give him an additional malchus is because the generality merely subsumes the specificity, you see. So I'm not going to add an additional iser to the one that you were over when I specified. I told you don't eat it nah. So you're eating it nah. So I'm going to also give you a separate malchus for the ki'im. That's what Abaye is saying. But he's not saying you can't get malchus for a lav shebiklalot where it does not involve something else. So all he was saying is, you're not going to an extra iser lav to get a separate malchus. But if the only thing that you did wrong was something that was only covered by the generality, such as the case of Chametveria. The case of Chametveria, you were not over on no, and you were not over on Bashem Avushal because it wasn't fire. And you there, Abaye says, no, there you could get Malkus because the only thing you were over was the Lav Shebiklalo. That's one approach. But others say that no, Abaye holds nothing. You don't even get, even if there's nothing else to apply, like Chametveria. Even one Malkus, you wouldn't get because of that. Why not? Because, remember, the dinim of Malkus are learnt out from the fact that the Torah puts together lo tachsom shor b'dishei together with the im bin hakot harasha, which tells me that I must use lo tachsom as the model for where there would be a chiyev Malkus. And lo tachsom is a very clear-cut, well-defined iser, not to do this particular maisa. Do not put a muzzle on your ox. So to say, do not eat it except, is not the same. And therefore, it's lo miyached lave. It doesn't have specified acts the way that the lav of lo taksom shor b'dishei, which is called the lav de chasima, and therefore it doesn't match the model. And because of that, you can't give malchus at all, according to this approach in Abaye. And we have exactly the same machlokas, fascinating, when it comes to a nazir. So over there, it's amazing. The Torah says that mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin lo yeachel. Okay, that's a lav shebiklalos. Anything at all. Let's say that a nazir wants to eat some meat that was wrapped in grape leaves. Would he be allowed to? No, because it says, mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin. That includes the leaves. Now, then it goes on to say, michartzanim ad zak. So you can't eat everything from the pips, the seeds, to the skin. So the specific lavim, same situation we have over here. Pips and skin. And anything else. Okay, so anything else is the generality, and the specifics are pips and skin, right? So therefore, we've got the same problem. Do we give a separate iser on the mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin? Aha! And if the only thing you ate was the leaf, which is neither pips nor skin, would you also be chayev malchus because of the lav shebiklalot? So again, do I give two malchios? One malchus or zero malchus in the case that I ate the grape leaf. So therefore, Rava says like this, if you ate the skin, you ate the zak, So then you get two malchus, same thing we said over here. You would get one for the ki im tzili esh and one for the bashem avushal or the na. If you ate a zag and a chartzan, then you would get, or if you ate a chartzan, you would also be lokesh tayim. If you ate the zag v'chartzan, then you would be lokesh shalosh. The same thing is over here as eating together both na and bashel, and you would get three times. If you ate all of them together, you get three. So Abaye says, no, you don't get malchus on a lav shebeklolos. And over there, we have the same ambiguity in what Abaye said. Some understood what Abaye was saying is you will not get an additional malchus based on the mikol asher yaseh, but you will get one malchus if that's all that you were over. You neither ate a pip nor a skin, but you did eat a grape leaf that you wrapped something in. Also, the iser, the same question would apply if you, I forgot what they call the little pieces of the vine that is also considered to be a delicacy, the tendrils, but I can't remember the name in English for that. But that would also be another example of a food taken from the vine that is not included in the zag or chartzan. So it's usher, but would you be chayav malchus on it? So that's the question. So one approach in Abaye, the same way we had over here, the suffix in Abaye, you would get, if there was nothing else involved, you would get one malchus for that. Chada mia lucky. But the other lashon Abaye, just like over here by the Korban Pesach, would hold even chada nami lo lucky. You wouldn't even get one set of malchus. Because the same reason, because saying such a generality, mikol asher yaseh, is not as clear as the well-defined law of chasima, which is supposed to be the model for malchus. Tana Rabbana, I had another question. Suppose you eat a kezayit of the Korban Pesach during the daytime before it was time to eat the Korban Pesach at all, and you ate it improperly because it was not. So is this halacha about a Korban Pesach being nah, is that like a tarfus kind of thing? That like if you would eat a Korban Pesach nah, it would be like eating an avela, and then it wouldn't matter when you ate it. So even if you ate it during the day, you would still be eating something not kosher. So what's the din over there? So the Braisa says like this. If you eat the Korban Pesach that is not during the daytime, before the Chiyav of Achila at night of the 15th, so then you would be potter, because we're going to see later on that we learn out once again the interrelationship of the Isurei Achila to the Mitzvah Achila, which is a common effect of Pesach, that it's the contrast of the Pesach that is very important. And remember that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is based on the same idea, the contrast. So it has to, that we even have a special bracha, right? Me'afela lo'ora, mish'ibud le'geula. That is the actual bracha, and of course is the centerpiece of the Seder. Ma nishtana. Why is it different? It's the difference that's important, and the Rambam learns that out from the pasuk of Zechira, which is the same word that's b'chayiv of the difference for Kiddush V'Avdola. We have seen that all of the Isurei Achila over here focus on the difference, not chametz, but matzah. And the two are interrelated. It has to be the same materials. It has to be the same question of what would have constituted the Isur that creates the actual matzah, whether it's in terms of the space-time period or it's in terms of the processes, which grains, and so on and so forth. So this is true, says the Braisa, even of the Korban Pesach. We're going to see later on. So unless you're supposed to be eating the Korban Pesach as the Tzli Eish, there would be no Isser of Achila of Na. That's the point. So therefore, during the day, you would be Potter. But if you eat a kezayis of na, the moment that it's now after tzeisa kochavim, and now you're mechuyev to start eating your Korban Pesach, then you would be chayev. On the other hand, there's also another difference, which is, remember, and we're going to get to this in great detail later on, when we talk about the mitzvahs of achilas haPesach, the din is that the Pesach has to be eaten b'chabura achas. There's two different elements of the chabura achas. If you start eating with the people that you were registered on the Korban with, you cannot eat with any other group. But there's another din that you cannot change the location of where you eat a Korban Pesach. Once you eat of the Korban Pesach, you can't move to another location. So therefore, the problem would be like this. If somebody ate a kezias of a properly roasted Korban Pesach during the daytime, let's say it was 10 minutes before Chashech, he thought it was time, and he eats it, and it's really had a din of daytime still. So then it doesn't matter where he goes at night. He did not posel himself eating in the room with the rest of the chabura, because his eating in a different place during the day is not viewed as really eating elsewhere. But if he eats a kezayit of tzli after the night, he can't then go and join his chabura somewhere else to eat it, because as we'll see, you're not allowed to. This is another impact of the difference between achila at the correct time or an achila that is not at the correct time. Now, there's another braita that says, Yochal achal kezayit nami ba'od yom yechayev. And this is, of course, the braita that we learned from, the ideas that we took for granted and the just mentioned braita. So this braita tells us, how do we know it? So you might have thought that if you eat a kezayit of a Korban Pesach that is improperly, it's only while it was still daytime, that you would be chayev, even though it wasn't the proper time for the achilas ha-pesach. And that is a very reasonable thing to say, I would think, because vidino, I mean, it sure adds up to me. If even at a time that the Torah insists, get up there and eat that Korban Pesach properly, and even then, you're going to be over on an Isra Lav if you eat it improperly. So certainly during the time where the Torah doesn't even want you to get up and eat it, so for sure it should be usher to eat it improperly, right? Or, I don't know, maybe not, you know? Or maybe, I mean, I could look at it the other way. Maybe we should look at it like this. I mean, first we thought that the din would apply whether it's in the daytime or at the nighttime. Maybe on the contrary. Maybe it should only apply in the daytime. What? Yeah, because look, I could say like this. Olo, I could say, b'sha'ah she'eino b'kum echol tzli. So then, yeshno b'bal tochal na. If the Torah is not interested in pushing me to eat it, so then maybe that's when it's telling me, and don't you dare eat it if it's not ready, if it's not properly cooked, because then it'll be like eating the vela. But if the Torah is saying, okay, get to work and make sure you eat this up, so then maybe there won't be any iser of eating it improperly prepared. I know that sounds weird, says the Braita, but al tetama, don't think that that's so weird, because consider, during the day, it's not the zman of the achila, right? So you would be usser to eat it during the day, because you would be over on the mitzvah saseh of achluat abasar balayla hazeh tzliyesh, correct? So you're not allowed to eat it during the day because of that mitzvah. So that iser asay, we have to be matir as soon as the night comes around. So maybe if the Torah is being matir, the limitations on the achilas ha-pesach, the moment that it says at kochavim, so then maybe it's matir all limitations on the achilas pesach, including al tochal mimenu na, al tochal mimenu bashel mevushal, sharei hutar michlo lo yitzotzli. We were matir entirely, so maybe we were matir all of the Isurim. So now, how indeed do we see from the Torah what the din is? Talmud lomar, al tochlu mimenu na ubashel mevushal b'mayim ki im tzli esh. Now, what does that mean, ki im tzli esh? She'im Talmud lomar ki im tzli esh? Why, it said beferish, kacho tochlu oto tzli esh. So, I don't understand. What do we have to tell me, ki im tzli esh again? So ma tamud lomar ki im tzli esh. That is to tell me that the two are interdependent. If there is a mitzvah to eat it tzli esh, so b'sha'ash yeshno b'kum echol tzli, then yeshno in the iser b'bal tochal, do not eat it na. But if I don't yet have the ki im tzli esh, because it's not time, so then b'sha'ash eino b'kum echol tzli, and that is the basis of what we said in the previous braita, and we took it for granted. That's this pasuk. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, let's take a look at that pasuk. Now, this is going to be very problematic, because Rebbe just finished saying something else about this word, and the Gemara will ask that in a minute. But Rebbe says, let's look at that bashel mevushal. I mean, if it would only have said bashel, don't eat it na'u bashel, wouldn't I have known that you're not allowed to eat if it's boiled? So then why does the Torah repeat the word mevushal? I don't understand. That's because sheyachol ein li ela shebishlomi shechashecha. I might have thought that the iser of eating mevushal is only if it was mevushal at the time that I am supposed to be eating it. But suppose I was bishlomi ba'od yom. I cooked it during the day before there was a mitzvah of achila. Maybe that doesn't answer it. How do I know that even if it was cooked, mi ba'od yom, it's aser talmud lomar, bashel mevushal, I don't give a hang when you cooked it, mikol makom. Hey, wait a second, says the Gemara. Bashel mevushal, Rebbe was the one that used that pasuk of bashel mevushal to aser pot roast. So what just happened? Hi, bashel mevushal, Rebbe used it before, afke Rebbe litzlike dar l'shar mashkin. He used that pasuk to tell him you cannot use any other type of liquid, even including pot roast, which is its own fats, its own juices, right? So how can he use it now to tell me that it also asers a korban that was cooked during the day? Because, says the Gemara, besides the repetition of the word, there is also the change in the construct of the word. So because if all you wanted to tell me was the repetitive din that we're expanding it into other types of liquids, so then just say, Lemakra, al tachlum menu na bashel bashel, or na mevushal mevushal. Well, I mean, to say bashel mevushal and using different forms of the word bishol, shbaminatarte. So one din we learn from the repetition, and the other din we learn from the change. Tanarabana. Now, this is very problematic. Here it says if you would eat the meat that was during the day properly prepared, you would be chayav. Now, we don't know any love about, we know not say to eat balaylas, yes, that yes, but to say you're chayav? I mean, how would you be chayav? The Gemara will ask this in a moment. If you eat a kezayit na mishachashecha, then you would be chayav. Yes, that makes sense. But putting the two together like this is very disturbing because the implication is the same way that you're chayav malchus on eating the na, you would be chayav malchus on eating during the day. But where is there a lav? Ask the Gemara. That's strange. Katani tzli dumya dana. The Torah, the Bryce is putting together over here, eating tzli in the daytime to eating na at the nighttime. And that implies to me that just like eating na in the nighttime is an iser lav in your chayav malchus, so then that would mean you have come up with some type of iser of eating tzli during the day. I mean, I know the iser of na. Bishleima na, it says, al tochlu mimenu na. But tzli? That there's an iser in the daytime of tzli that I never heard of. I mean, how do I know that? I only know it from the pasuk, which is an asay. It says ve'achlu et habasar balayla hazeh, which would mean balayla, yes, but in the day, not. Okay, but that is a lav haba mechlal asay. I mean, I understand that it's usher, but he compared it to na, which would mean that was your chayev, literally chayev, like he said. But isn't the din that kol lav haba michlal asay only has the power of an asay, and therefore there would be no malchus associated with it. Omer of Chista, well, this is a special Tana. And this Tana is Rabbi Yehuda, and we will see all about Rabbi Yehuda on Matzoi Shabbos when Richie is well prepared for a very special job coming up. Yes, indeed.